Welcome to the NFL Week 7 recap-ish here on Shooting the Sports-ish. I am Tom, alongside my co-host this evening, Teddy. How was your Week 7, sir?
It was good. America's team finally got justice. And if you've been paying attention, you know that America's team is now not the Dallas Cowboys. God, no. It is whoever's playing the Titans, the COVID-19ers. And they finally went down. It's a beautiful day. Nothing else matters. We'll see y'all next week.
So Pittsburgh stays undefeated this week. One of the big things here in Week 7. Tom Brady continues to toss up the double bird to everyone in the NFL. Cam Newton comes back to reality. And the Atlanta Falcons do their best Detroit Lions impersonation here on Week 7 of Shooting the Sports-ish. Teddy, I'm going to jump right into it. Detroit at Atlanta. I don't need to break down plays in this game. I don't need to say a lot. I will say this. Atlanta had a chance to end the football game. Todd Gurley has a player on his back at the 4-yard line. Instead of going down immediately on the 3, he tries to get it to the goal line, and then he attempts to stop. Todd Gurley is officially Mr. Long John Silver's because he's selfish. Because this game should have never gone back in the hands of Matthew Stafford. The Atlanta Falcons were baptized as the new Detroit Lions today. That takes a special kind of talent and a special kind of a choke lose ability where you find different ways to lose games. Now, granted, the Detroit Lions made every attempt not to hit an extra point to win the game and yet go to overtime later. But here we are, Detroit wins 23-22 in a game in which, again, Arthur Blank's soul was ripped out of his head if he had anyone left. Teddy, watching this game with a non-partisan view of it, what the hell were you thinking when Todd Gurley did not go down and they just kicked the field goal?
Yeah, you know, it's something that you always kind of almost like not an unwritten rule, but like you'll see, you know, classic plays of guys on breakaway runs. They just go down two clock, whatever. Atlanta had this one in the bag. He scored, and like, you know, whatever the situation may be, he definitely messed up going in the end zone. But at the end of the day, as an unbiased fan, I honestly, no offense to you and your team, thought that, all right, Detroit lost. You know, I was like, there's no way. That he's like Matthew Stafford's not Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't have a Hail Mary in him.
But Teddy, lose in Detroit fashion would have been to miss the extra point at 22 and then lose an OT. That would have been lionized. Instead, what happened, Atlanta pulls this nonsense at the end of the game. Stafford, like you mentioned, marches down the field like he's rocking a Packers jersey with Rodgers in the back of it. And by the way, on that last drive, was there a Falcon that crossed the line of scrimmage? Because my goodness, like, he was left to make every decision he possibly could on his own. They did not have any pressure in that backfield. Detroit somehow 3-3. Matt Patricia's going to keep his job. I'm going to continue to cry. The Lions will obviously lose another game they shouldn't in the next 2 weeks, and we'll talk about that later. Atlanta now, Teddy, they're 1-6.
They are 1-6.
Came out today, said they're not trading Julio Jones. What the hell are you doing then?
There's not too many people left in the building to get rid of.
Teddy, is this a wrap on this Atlanta team as far as this collective group of Falcons with Matt Ryan at the helm? If you're not going to trade Julio, is it a wrap now? Because they're not winning anything with those two.
Yeah, I think this one's kind of, I don't want to say set in stone because, you know, you want to say, oh, you never know. But you know, at this point, like, just tank. You know, like, there's nothing to gain, right? Like, the Saints and the Panthers, we'll get to them. They chipped away at it. They look much better on paper compared to the Falcons.
Yep.
And you got Tampa Bay with Tom Brady. They're going to win the division. It doesn't even matter.
What was that?
I said they're going to win the division.
The Tampa Bay Brady is that everyone in the beginning of the year said he's done. The Pats will have a better record. Tom Brady's not going to do it. That same guy? We'll talk about him later.
Yeah, him. But yeah, so I mean, at this point, get a good draft pick. Like, look to the future. It's time to rebuild. Like, you brought Todd Gurley in. You have really good receivers. It should all be working, and it's not. You know, and like, at the end of the day, you can say, oh, it's injuries. Oh, it's COVID. Literally everyone's dealing with that right now, right? There's much worse cases of it. At this point, you're dealt. You got to do what you can with the hand you're dealt.
It is a skill factor for them, Teddy. They don't have the skill on the lines on both sides of the ball to be as competitive as they should be. But as we talk about week in and week out, Teddy, there's too much talent on that team to only have one win. They could not be good, but there's too much talent on that team to have one win. But I think we talked way too much about the Atlanta Falcons. Arthur Blank, get yourself a nice little shot tonight and enjoy the future of watching mock drafts. Cleveland Browns visiting the Cincinnati Bengals. The Cleveland Bakers and the Cincinnati Burrows. In a game that I did not think we would be taking over under 70 points, what a shootout this turned out to be. Jarvis Landry has a touchdown called back. Otherwise, his QBR in this game was a 122, for those of you keeping score. Again, Jarvis Landry has a better QBR than Baker Mayfield. If you're watching the show, we've talked about this before. That said, no rip on Baker. He does get 5 touchdowns in this game.
Yeah, I was about to say, we can't talk too much shit on him.
Joe Burrow on the other side of the ball, though, 406 with 3 TDs. Both men have a pick as the Browns win 37-34 and in the absolute shootout of Ohio. Teddy, neither defense showed up. Lots of players had touches. Did you have a takeaway here, minus the fact that Cincinnati's defense is what we thought? They're not good. And the Browns are as inconsistent as we thought they were.
So I guess my big kind of question here is, well, A, the big question for Cleveland is keeping an eye on Odell Beckham Jr.'s injury. They are fearing it's a really bad knee injury, so we'll see kind of what happens with his MRI tomorrow. On the Bengals side,
Teddy,
of the ball.
Breaking news in the show. I have a slight Odell Beckham injury report.
Okay.
They do know at this point is an MCL injury in Cleveland.
Uh-oh.
The big question, however, is they won't know until the MRI whether it's one of those two-week kind of get better physical therapy type things or if this is a longer knee injury until tomorrow. The good news for him is at this point, it doesn't look to be the ACL, which would take him out for the full season.
Right.
It's still a blow to Cleveland, whichever way you want to look at it.
Right, yeah, either way. But, I mean, I guess my question on the side of the ball, obviously Cincinnati did not have Joe Mixon today, which – depending on which week you catch him, could matter, could not have. But, like, when you look at the stats of this game, all right, Joe Burrow, as you mentioned, 406 yards, 3 touchdowns. Tyler Boyd, 11 catches for 101 and a touchdown. A.J. Green did his best. Please trade me. Hey, look, I'm still relevant. Case,
Please trade him? Like, what are we waiting for? You're 1-5-1.
Definitely.
You're not signing him at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Like, you have till Thursday for him to make COVID protocols to transfer to a team. Move him.
Get him out. But just, like, looking at the team, like, looking at the stat lines and everything, I don't really know what's missing from the offensive side of the ball, if that makes sense. I think they just – if they get their defense figured out, I think that they instantly are going to get better in a very tough division. If that makes sense. Like, I think that there's still hope for this Cincinnati team, not this season, but I think the future is still bright with kind of the core and what we've seen, especially this game.
If Cincy wants their future to be bright, they need to move AJ now. Right. They need to get something in return for him now. And then, like you said, there's talent there, move forward. I want to talk on the opposite side of the ball for a second. This was one of those Browns games where Nick Chubb, I felt, really was missed. Yes. I understand that they had 82 on the ground, but the way Cincinnati's built, it seems to me Nick Chubb would have ate up that D-line a little more than what Kareem Hunt did tonight.
Right.
I agree. Browns win. They beat the Bengals. The Bengals need to move on. Let's also move on to two teams which are undefeated going into this week. The Steelers at America's Not Team, the Titans. And make sure all those Steelers, I wish you the best of health traveling to that Tennessee environment. Ben comes out firing, but let's be honest. made a lot of errors in this game. However, it didn't matter. As the game plan for the Steelers was to stop Derrick Henry, and they did. Without Devin Bush at linebacker, they were able to hold Derrick Henry to 75 yards and a touchdown. When you do that against this Tennessee team, it makes things real difficult on Ryan Tannehill, and I think other teams are going to take this approach moving forward. Teddy, you paid close attention to this game.
I did.
What were your big takeaways in this one?
First off, on the Tennessee side of the ball, do you want to know how you know a player's elite? When you say that when we can say that they shut him down and Derrick Henry only had 75 yards and a touchdown on
100%,
the ground.
100%.
That's they how you know disaster. Someone's elite. Yeah, because like he had 20 carries. If you in like any other game this season, you give him 20 carries. I mean, last week, what do you have, 225 on the ground? So, I mean, like, yes, they definitely mitigated him. They did give up the, you know, a lot of yards to A.J. Brown receiving in order to do so. And they benefited from Gostkowski missing a field goal. But on the Steelers side of the ball, we've made a case almost every week that I don't know if it's a benefit of the Steelers, and I see this a lot when it comes to the Tampa Bay offense as well, is that it seems like every week we talk about someone else being the star of the show. I don't know if it's like the defense doesn't know who to prepare for. I don't know what it is. But Chase Claypool, who's been Mapletron, if you will, has been tearing it up recently. Huge waiver ads in fantasy football for anybody that plays. This week, one reception on one target for -2 yards.
I mean, look, Mr. Butterworth disappeared, but you had Juju, as you're saying. Juju is putting 85. Johnson puts in 80. Yeah, Eric Ebron decides that he's going to catch a football with hands that aren't made of stone this week. And you know, he went ahead and had some yards. To your point, they spread out that football, right?
Mm-hmm.
They also do a tremendous job of shutting down the pass to running backs, which I think has gone unseen this year. And that's one of the things Pittsburgh does better than most teams. And again, I'll bring up Devin Bush because he's a tremendous athlete. And he helped Pittsburgh the first 5 games prior to getting injured. But the scheme they have to stop that running back catching those passes and getting those yaks is really helping them long term.
Right, and then Big Ben, as you mentioned, on his side of the ball for his 2 touchdowns. The 3 interceptions is a concern. He was getting praised a lot this week. He came into the game with only 1 on this season, and he threw 3 this week.
Dude, you know, Teddy, it's been on the road. That's his MO. That is his history. I mean,
but they still
you still can pull off the win, like you're saying, with 3 turnovers, you're fine.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to move on now. We have the Jacksonville Jaguars visiting the Chargers. Teddy, not going to talk a ton on statistics of this game. I want to talk the score. 29-39. Justin Herbert, 347, 3 TDs. They mixed it up on the ground, and I get that. But on the other side of the ball, James Robinson for Jacksonville showed up, 119 and a touchdown. Gardner Minshew did not look great, but still had 2 TDs. The biggest difference in this game was the way Herbert took over the game. Would you agree?
I would, and, you know, he used what was around him. You know, obviously he used Keenan Allen like Phillip Rivers always used Keenan Allen. You know, it's 10 catches, 125 yards. He got what he, you know, got down the field. He got a lot of people whose names I've never heard of involved,
you know,
and so, I mean, that's good. And then Justin Herbert figured it out on the ground. You know, we knew he was kind of dual threat, more strong army, not as much scrambler as maybe like a Kyler Murray, but, or I guess he kind of resembles Josh Allen in a way, but 9 for 66 and a touchdown on the ground.
Yeah, but he doesn't fumble like Josh Allen does, but we'll move on.
And he doesn't trip over his own feet running the field down like Daniel Jones does. But, yeah, so, I mean, this team, like I said, I don't think that they're going to do anything this year. I still don't think this is like some crazy turning point where they went out the rest of the season making noise in the playoffs. But if you're Chargers, sorry, Tyrod Taylor, but, like, this is Justin Herbert's team now.
Yeah, I mean, sorry.
And then Gardner Minshew is going to be a fantastic backup for somebody somewhere, but he should not be starting football games.
No, and speaking of not starting football games, those Dallas Cowboys visit the Washington football team. Andy Dalton gets KO'd in this game, going 9 for 19 for 75 yards and a pick. He gets taken out on a dirty, dirty hit.
That was awesome.
Kyle Allen, 194, 2 TDs. My takeaway in this game was the fact that Washington absolutely destroyed the line of the Dallas Cowboys. The Washington defensive front crushed the Dallas line. And if Dallas wants to win a game, Ezekiel Elliott's going to have to do something other than get 45 yards. This was embarrassing. A one-win Washington team just dismantled Dallas. Teddy, that's all I have on this one, because honestly, Dallas is not going anywhere, and I don't care. And Washington about the same. I'll say I was shocked in the score, however.
I'll agree. You know, if you look at kind of the score breakdown quarter by quarter, Dallas scored their only points in the first quarter. So, obviously, the Andy Dalton hit was just – it's he essentially, if you haven't seen it, he gave himself up. He was sliding, and a Washington defender still clocked him. He got ejected, but it was just – it was an ugly, ugly hit.
It was Trent Green, dude.
Right.
It was as ugly as you can get. Targeting all day if you're in college, if you're in the pros, helmet's a helmet, malicious intent, call it what you want. It was gross.
That being said, before the hit, Andy Dalton was 9 for 19, 75 yards a touch. Or a,
he was still trash before his frame was scrambled. There's no doubt about it. Yes. Right.
And then anyone not named Amari Cooper, you know, good luck. And hopefully he bounced back next week. But on the Washington side of the ball, got good stuff here. You know, I feel like the NFC East is just going to NFC East. You know, it's – I don't know. You know, I don't know who's going to win this division. I'd love if we could vote nobody, you know. Because I don't want to say that there's promise on this team, because honestly, you know, I don't necessarily know that there is with Kyle Allen at quarterback. But, I mean, I guess Terry McLaurin had a good game. But, I mean, it was against a terrible Dallas defense. Well,
absolutely.
Very hurt Dallas defense, but still.
Let's move on to asses and seats. Teddy, I'll give you a stat. You tell me if you want this quarterback, somebody who goes 33 or 45 for 369, no picks. Four in the air and one on the ground. Would you take that quarterback? Would that entice you?
I don't think so, because I would say he's probably a system quarterback, and that it's not him that
maybe
has
washed
the talent.
Up, a little old.
Probably, yeah. Like, you know, just go on down the old dusty trail.
It was probably all just the coach, right?
Yes, yes.
The Tom Brady Buccaneers go to Vegas, and Tom Brady on his double bird tour. It's up 369 and four in the air, one on the ground. Tom Brady did this. Do you remember the beginning of the season? We had all those New England fans wishing Tom Brady well and the hell out of New England. We won't miss him. He's done. Blah, blah, blah. You should probably be more concerned at what he won for you, because after today, you're probably not winning anything anytime soon. But Tom, on the other hand, maybe. This Buccaneers team puts up 45, and Tom Brady is adding Antonio Brown tomorrow. Somehow, Teddy, some way, Rob Gronkowski is resembling an NFL tight end again, and I can't understand it. I can't understand it. It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense that Tom Brady has found his new Hogan, his new Amendola, his new Edelman in Scotty Miller, who goes, oh, just one of nine and a touchdown, while Chris Godwin, Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, and Mike Evans play on the team. Teddy, this Bucs team is going to be dangerous now. Do you have any comments to the Pats fans who wish Brady out of town, and then the first couple of weeks who kind of wrote off the Tampa Bay team like they weren't going to do anything?
I choose not to talk to Patriots fans as much as possible to avoid headaches. But in this case, you know, we will get to your game in a second. Don't you worry. And as a Panther fan, I got plenty of comments about Cam. But no, I mean, honestly, again, it's a new week where a new guy took over, Scotty Miller. But again, as you mentioned, Antonio Brown joining the team soon to start practicing. I believe he has one more week on his suspension. So I believe week 9 is when he can actually take the field.
Correct.
For the first
he can
stop
due to the suspension and COVID. Week 9 would be his first game eligible.
And so I think,
trust me, he's playing week 9.
Oh yeah, and I think that there's, well, unless he, you know, screws up between now and then,
which is totally possible.
It's very on the table.
I got strong feet.
But yes, I mean, honestly, this Tampa Bay Buccaneer defense or team and their defense especially is insane. I honestly didn't think the Raiders had a chance in this one. Their entire offensive line had COVID like half the week. So, I mean, Josh Jacobs, 10 carries for 17 yards. Good luck trying to win off of that.
You know what, Teddy? I agree with you 100%. Like, this was a game going in, the Raiders didn't have much of a chance, right? Because their offensive line. If I were to write that aside, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bucs offense still absolutely crippled their defense.
Yeah. Tom Brady didn't get sacked, just so you know.
No, not once. Mm-hmm. Not once. Do you like quarterbacks with a 127 rating out of curiosity? We're going to move on now because that was Tom Brady, week 7. The double bird tour is on its way, and I'd be scared to bet against him. We'll move on to his old team, though. The people that, you know, go ahead and leave, Tom. We got Cam. Cam's going to take us to the promised land. 49ers at the Patriots. Jimmy Garoppolo shows what he is, I guess. 277, no TDs, and 2 picks. He's a game manager at best. The biggest stat of this game is the 39.7 QBR. Mr. Cam Newton. 9 of 15, 98 yards, and 3 picks. Cam on the ground, 19 yards, no touchdowns. Teddy, is it safe to say after the 49ers throttled New England in Foxborough 33-6, one of the only times in my recent memory that the Patriots didn't score a touchdown? Teddy, is this Patriot team dead at 2-4?
So this is definitely a spot where I'm going to have my probably freezing cold take on this, as Cam Newton will probably try his best to run it down whoever they play next week's throat. But
nope, Tom's hot take interrupts Teddy. Cam Newton is done. He's done. Move on. It's
fair
done.
Enough.
It was a great couple weeks. He's done.
This is going to be one of those moments where Panther fans that had Cam leave that were okay with it because he hadn't played a full season or performed at his level for a full season in, you know, 5 or 3 years, I guess. This is that game that we kind of had circled on our calendar, right? Beginning as you're getting to the middle point of the season, he lost it, you know, and obviously it may be some kind of injury he might have. He doesn't look like himself. And, you know, honestly, I think it affected everyone around him. Obviously, the receivers, but at the same time, like him running the ball 5 for 19, that's not like him. So, I mean, I don't know that he's like done, but I think this team is, I guess, probably, are they top? They're third in the AFCs now with the Dolphins on a bye.
This team is done. When you let Jeff Wilson Jr. run for 112 and 3 TDs on your ass at home, you done.
God damn, the 49ers know how to run a ball, right? One of my buddy's favorite points is that Jimmy G went 20 for 25 with 2 picks. So, I mean, technically he only had 3 incompletions. But 2 of them just happened to go to the other team.
Yeah, those are kind of important. Yeah,
but, I mean, no touchdowns. I mean, God, they know how to run the ball in San Fran, though.
Yeah, and you know what New England's going to be able to do in Boston and Massachusetts here? They're going to learn how to play golf in the middle of January somewhere because
be in the playoffs.
Ooh, did not know.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, we'll move on to a team that is making a playoffs and one who also is not making a playoffs. As the Green Bay Packers traveled to the Houston Texans last week on this show, we told you the Aaron Rodgers revenge tour is on, and he will get at least 3 touchdowns. He stopped getting yards in the second half, however. But nonetheless, Aaron, 283, 4 touchdowns. Deshaun Watson, you have no help on this team at all. I'm done. You ran the ball for 79 yards total as a team, and 42 came from Watson. I'm surprised the game scores as close as it looks because the game was not close. Green Bay just wipes the floor with the Texans. Aaron Rodgers comes back from that terrible game last week, has 4 touchdowns. 283, Devontae Adams healthy, almost 200 yards in the air, 2 touchdowns. This is a team that did not have its maybe second biggest weapon in Aaron Jones. If you say Rodgers or Adams is one, Aaron Jones didn't play today. Teddy, Aaron Jones didn't play. And the Packers were a double touchdown favorite after this game's over. Twofold here, Teddy. Are the Packers running away with the NFC North? And when is Houston winning another game?
So, with that, kind of calling back to last week, you had a kind of a, not necessarily a hot take, but your prediction was that Aaron Rodgers doesn't play the second half.
Yeah, he basically did he?
I don't think he did. Yeah, he was under center, but I don't really think he did. I think he ended up with like 20 more yards passing in the second half because they just kept running the ball. But as you mentioned, yes, I mean, if you have Jamal Williams, you have A.J. Dillon kind of behind Aaron Jones, and so they still got the job done against the Texans team that's not very good.
No.
Sorry, Tony.
No.
But at the same time, Aaron Jones, like, this game just would have been more out of hand. You know, like, because Aaron Jones is better than those two, and he would have done more. Devontae Adams was nuts. So, yeah, I think this Packers team is just going to keep winning. And I think we all have our feelings about the Chicago Bears, but, you know, I don't think it's going to stay where they stay toward the top of that division very much longer, starting tomorrow night. Hot take. As far as Houston Texans, I honestly don't know their schedule coming up, but I don't think it necessarily matters, you know. So,
here's my question, Ted. In the NFC North, I have my terrible Detroit Lions at 500. All right. I have Green Bay running away with the division. I have a fraudulent Chicago Bears team. It is one odd division.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
We'll move on. Carolina Panthers visiting NOLA as they play the Saints. It's one of those games where I looked at it, Teddy Bridgewater is getting the start. I thought he'd have a good game. He had a fine game. Nothing spectacular. And I say that with all due respect because I think for him to have won this game, he had to be spectacular. Drew Brees was fine. Basically, the game came down to rushing. Again, Carolina can't get it on the ground. Can't stop it on the ground. Desperately miss Christian McCaffrey. Teddy, you followed this game closer than I did. The Panthers are still 3-4, okay? It's not like they're the scum of the league. Are they going to be able to make any type of a run where they are when CMC comes back?
So there's going to be a little bit of bias as we, you know, in this answer, as we know, because I am a Panther fan. But with that being said, I still really like what we're seeing out of Teddy Bridgewater, right? Like, he got sacked once. He didn't throw any picks today. There's some decisions that obviously he's not, you know, making the right ones, but the play calling is getting very, very fine-tuned for him. Sure. And, like, his play style, and I think that's going to be adaptable once CMC is back. There was a play where, like, everybody was used to him throwing short, you know, drags and outs and ins, everything like that. And then all of a sudden, DJ Moore was 40 yards down the field past everybody, easy touchdown. Sure. DJ Moore had a great game. Robbie Anderson had a great game. I think that if they can keep this up and add Christian McCaffrey – I don't think that they win this division, as we've talked about. I don't even think they make the wild card out of the NFC. I think they might ruin a season. You know, I think they might. I think they might give somebody a tough time and surprise beat somebody because I think they're still going to compete. The Saints team, I'm actually kind of underwhelmed. You know, obviously they had to kind of go bottom of the – not I don't say bottom of the barrel. That's kind of mean. They had to go down the depth chart, we'll say, to, you know, pick out Marquez Callaway, Tre'Quan Smith, and Deontay Harris because of Michael Thomas's issues, injuries, and Emmanuel Sanders being out. But I honestly thought Alvin Kamara was going to have a better game. I mean, like, 14 for 83 is obviously nothing to, you know, turn your head at. But at the same time, the Panthers were, like, third worst in the league stopping the run. They had Alvin Kamara to 83 yards, and he only added 65 to the air. You know, yeah. Like, the Saints won this game by 3. The line was 7. And so – or I think 7.5 even. And so, I mean, underwhelmed by the Saints, and I think the Panthers have more hope here.
I mean, I'm with you. We move on to our next game, and I think we all expected to go how it went. Chiefs 43, Broncos 16. I don't have a lot more to say in this game. It went the way I thought. Ted?
Chad Henne took the field today, and nobody
He did.
So there you go. Patrick Mahomes loves him some snow. All right, he loves playing in the snow. He's a big fan. Again, you know, it's kind of one of those things where we see kind of these multiple-headed Hydra monsters of football offenses where Edwards-Helaire, 8 for 46 and a touchdown, Le'Veon Bell, guess who called it, your boy, didn't really do anything, 6 for 39, but that's fine. He did what they needed him to do, you know, and then Mecole Hardman had led the team in receiving, Tyreek had a touchdown, Travis Kelce was present, but at the same time, you know, the Denver Broncos aren't going to be a team that frightens anyone. You know, Drew Lock is still finding his way. He did throw the ball 40 times, 2 picks. They couldn't really do much for running the ball. So, I mean, I think this one's just Kansas City being Kansas City. Have fun in the playoffs, Chiefs.
Right. It's the question of what are you going to do when you meet teams that have the same ability as you? I know you can beat up on the bad teams. What are you going to do later? Has KC showed you anything yet this year that proves they can beat up on the good teams?
Yes and no. So it's just, I think it's going to come down to whether or not it clicks that week, right? Because I think there's times like this one where it clicks, but it didn't need to, right? You know? And so it's, they were going to beat the Broncos most likely anyway, but then you see them when they come off a loss against the Raiders, and we see what the Raiders did today. We're like, if it doesn't click, they're kind of screwed if the other team does, you know? So I don't think that they're 100% like, oh, give them the Super Bowl trophy now. I think that they're going to be in the playoffs. I think they're going to go deep. But at the same time, if you have another team on their best day and like they have their best day, the Chiefs have middle of the road bad day, obviously it's hard to vote against Patrick Mahomes, but I don't think it's automatically a Chiefs victory every week.
Sure, sure. You know, I agree with you, and I agree with you to the extent of I was joking, and I said at this point, if the Chiefs played Tampa in a playoff game per se, and I understand where that game would have to be, I get the logistics. Is it a race to 38 at that point, though?
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think I possibly was in the group chat with you. It was a race 38, race to 40. I think however you want to, you know, put it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree because they're both have a lot of people on offense, a lot of different pieces, especially with the potential of Antonio Brown in Tampa Bay. Now they both have very good defenses, which is something the Chiefs didn't have last year. No. And so obviously like they improved their defense so much. Everyone's like, oh yeah, it's a shoe-in. But at the same time, lost to the Raiders. And that's something you can't shake. Even if it was like, oh, it was a bad day. You have a bad day against Tampa Bay, you're not going to win.
You know what, too? As bad as that Tampa defense was the first 5 weeks, they've shown signs of life and improvement. And by no means am I saying they are good. But, Teddy, agree or disagree? The way Brady is playing now, are they serviceable enough for him to win with adding Antonio Brown?
Yes. Definitely, because the better Brady plays, the more weight is taken off of the defense's shoulders.
100%.
If the defense knows that, hey, Tom Brady is on one right now, and he's, like, pissed off, he's got, like, fire in his eyes, and he's going out there proving it, as you mentioned, the double bird tour to the entire NFL, that, you know, if he's on kind of one of those kind of games, they know, like, hey, we just have to slow him down.
100%.
You know, we don't even have to, like – I think they can – they're probably one of the only teams that can employ a bend-don't-break approach, and they'll come away with a victory if Tom Brady's on one.
It's going to be very interesting moving forward, I'll say that for sure. We're going to move a little forward into next week as we are looking at Week 8. We're going to start on Thursday. Those Atlanta Falcons, the new Atlanta Lion Falcons, visit your Carolina Panthers on Thursday night. Carolina -3.5 in a football game, Teddy.
Is this what it's like to be favored?
There is no way in hell I can bet Carolina -3.5 points.
I mean, the Falcons are just – they're bad. The Panthers are terrible on Thursday nights, though. Like, we're just not good on short weeks, but I mean, I'm gonna go with the Panthers.
I'll take Atlanta. Moving on, Indianapolis at Detroit. Indy -2.5. Who the hell cares? These are not good football teams. This pains me to say it. Give me the Lions at home. Ugh, Teddy.
I'm going to take the Colts coming off a bye week. Sounds with. Great. There you go.
I love it. You're betting against Detroit. The logic here is they game plan against Matt Patricia's poor defense on their 13 days off. They should dismantle them.
There you go.
Cool. Minnesota visiting Green Bay. Green Bay only -6.5. Green Bay.
Yeah.
New England visiting Buffalo.
Jesus.
Buffalo is -4. Does New England have anything left to come back? Or is this finally the week where that New England dynasty is completely dead? Not just, we're going to bury you, but done.
So, like, obviously, with what we saw today, I really want to take the Bills as far as what we saw from the Patriots. That being said, we kind of glossed over we skipped the game because it was terrible and the Jets were involved. But the Bills couldn't score a touchdown against the Jets. That's worrisome. And so, -4, I don't know that it's as clear cut and dry, but if it doesn't happen this week for the Patriots, I think you can write them off.
I think what's also worrisome, too, if you have any faith in Bill Belichick, he'll have a game plan going in against Josh Allen.
Right.
I think I'd be more concerned if I was a Pats fan if Josh Allen goes in there next week and throws up 340 and 3 touchdowns, because then I know it's done. You had no way to stop it. Tennessee visiting Cincinnati. Tennessee is -4. I will take Tennessee -100 at this point. I think they're going to go in there bitter. I think Derrick Henry's going to have the game he should have had today where he runs for, what was it last week? 268 all total purpose yards? Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. I'll take Tennessee then.
Agreed.
Vegas visiting Cleveland. Cleveland's favored by 3.5.
That one's going to be a tough one. I think it's going to depend on COVID, but I actually kind of like the Raiders in that one.
In the biggest NFL spread I have seen in many years.
Oh, Jesus.
Teddy, as you know, when we go through these odds, it's the first time either of you or I look at them on the week, right? Sunday night.
Yep.
So for anyone listening still, the Jets at KC, what are you thinking here?
Is it 24?
It is 21 in a hook.
Oh, my God.
The Kansas City Chiefs are an NFL 3.5-point favor over the Jets next week. And I'm sorry, I'll give up the points.
Chad Henne better take his cleats next week, too. He better be ready to play a quarter.
Chad may have a better yard record next week. A lot of quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. I bet he outplays Sam Darnold.
I might just give Patty Mahomes the week off.
Just rest him.
Rams visiting Miami. Rams -3.5. They haven't looked great. Miami has Tua starting. Give me Miami.
Yeah, let's see what Tua got. I'll go with Miami as well.
Nola -3 visiting Chicago. Chicago is frauds. Drew Brees is fine. Give me the Saints.
Yep, give me the Saints.
Dallas visiting Philly.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, that Dallas team today that got dismantled by that Washington football team. Dallas only a 3-point dog. Philly giving up 3. Teddy, I understand it's a rivalry game, but what the hell is going on with the spread? The over-under is 43.5. Give me Philly. Give me the over to cover by Philly alone. They are going to just mop the floor of Dallas next week.
I agree. Oh, wow. Yes. We'll go with Philly.
Chargers -1 traveling to the Broncos in South Park Nation. Chargers -1. I think this game's going to go off as a pick 'em. I'm going to take the Chargers.
I'll take the Chargers as well. I'm interested to see kind of what weather Herbert has to play in, though.
Sure. The lock of the week's coming, Teddy. Don't wait. It's coming.
Oh, okay. Oh, good.
And it's not this game. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Baltimore favored by 6. What disrespect for an undefeated Pittsburgh team do you have by giving up 6? Give me Pittsburgh and the 6.
Give me the Steelers. I like where they're playing.
In the lock them up of the week, the Tampa Bay Bradys are visiting the New York Giants.
Oh, no.
Teddy, when we talk revenge tour, and we talk birds. I don't know if I've ever given up 8.5 points in my lock of the week, but I am right now. Tom Brady goes in to the Giants and dismantles them in ways that we haven't seen since things were illegal. Teddy, 8.5.
Is that Monday Night Football next week?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, Brady's going off. Yep, Brady. Brady, yep.
So, those Brady prop bets, 4, 5, and 6 touchdowns, may want to look at your local favorite bookies right now. May want to stop by Tony, Barstool, go ahead and start MGM, working part-time. Detroit, wherever you want to go and say, hey, who got some Brady for 6 TDs? Oh, 3,500? I'm not certain at this point in life who Tampa's backup is, but he may score 2, so look into that.
Yeah,
that game is going to be ugly as hell. And that's the definitely end of week 8 for next week. Week 7 for this week. A lot of things were expected and a lot of things that didn't happen. Teddy, wrap it up for me. 30 seconds, week 7. Going into week 8, what do you expect following the next couple weeks?
The NFC East is still going to be horrible and terrible at football.
Yes.
The NFC West is starting to shape up to be actually interesting. Otherwise, look for the flip the bird tour to continue for both Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, all the older veteran pissed off quarterbacks. But really, I think I'm going to have a lot of eyes on how Justin Herbert does against the Broncos. Again, I do not think that they will have trouble in that game, but I still think that, you know, from what we're seeing, it's going to be good. But also, if the Steelers beat the Ravens next week and it's handily, they're going to be pretty high seeded in the playoffs.
Teddy, I think you're being kind of casual when you say pretty high seeded.
I don't want to say they're going to beat the Chiefs, but, I mean, they look like they could.
If Pittsburgh wins next week, they may wind up with a 1 seed at the rate we're going.
Very true.
That is an undefeated football team. But we'll find out next week, Halloween weekend, week 8. We'll see how it goes. Please, if you liked our video, look down below, hit like, and subscribe. And until next time, I am Tom. That is Teddy, and thank you for joining us this week on NFL Week 7 Recap-ish, brought to you by Shooting the Sports-ish.